Would you please take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. It's Christmas, so Merry Christmas. We're going to look today at another sermon on consecrated lives. The focal passage is going to be Luke 2, verse 1 through 20. There's a little thing out there on the internet that you can find. It's called 1 Corinthians 13 Christmas Version. 1 Corinthians 13 Christmas Version. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shiny balls, but do not have love, I'm just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not have love, I'm just another cook. If I work at a soup kitchen, carol in a nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties, and sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I have missed the point. Love stops the cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the spouse. Love is kind, though harried and not tired. Love does not envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linen. Love does not yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful that they are there to be in the way. Love does not give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoice in giving to those who cannot. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Toys will break, pearl necklaces will be lost, golf clubs will rust, but giving the gift of love will endure. As Christians, we celebrate Christmas just a little differently than others, don't we? We come to this time of year, and hopefully if we got our priorities in order, then we know that everything comes second to Christ at Christmas. Presents are good to have. Family time spent together is of great importance. Being able to enjoy the festivities of this time of year can bring laughter and happiness. But if we do not have the love of Christ within us, if we don't share the love of Christ with others, if we do not cherish the love of Christ above all, then we truly run the risk of missing the real message of this special time of year. You and I are consecrated in Christ to live lives that reflect His love, a love that He has shared to us and given to us, and a love that we must share and give to others. Thus, this time of year, let's just be honest, it's really not about us, is it? It's about Jesus. And as His servants, we're called to do the greatest thing anyone can do on earth, and that is share our faith with others so that they too can know Christ and the eternal salvation that He gives. This past month, we have been looking at what it is to be consecrated individuals in God's kingdom, what it means to be set apart for His use and for His glory. And as we finish up the Christmas story, we're going to look at the most consecrated individual in the history of God's redemptive plan. We're going to focus on the first advent of His Son, Jesus, who is the Messiah of the world. One who had been set apart to accomplish the greatest work that the Father ever entrusted upon any individual. For in Christ we see a true consecrated life that served the Father to not just His death, but all the way into His resurrection and beyond. So let's go ahead, if you would, please follow along as we look at one of the most famous passages in Scripture, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This is the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be frightened, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby, and he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. Well, as we consider the passage before us and what it is to have a consecrated life, as the most consecrated individual, if you look on your outline with me as I give it to you in the bulletin, Jesus was foreordained to be the Savior before the creation of the world. Before. Not in reaction to fallen man, but before man fell. 1 Peter 1:19 through 21, the King James Version says, "But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." He was chosen before the foundation of the world. One theologian quipped, "Christmas is the promise and Easter is the proof." When we think of Jesus, we must acknowledge that no other individual was chosen to accomplish the work that he was given. No other person, here it is, was even capable of fulfilling the demand that was placed upon him, our Savior. No other person in human history could, never mind would, accomplish the task set before him or her like that of Jesus. Before this material realm even existed, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, decided the plan of salvation, that God would make humanity in his image, that humanity would fall from perfection, that they would become estranged from him, and that they would face death for their sin, and that they would need a way back to him because of that sin. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit set forth the plan of redemption before he breathed breath into man's body. God planned to show his unending love to his creation through the sacrifice of his Son long before he even said the words, "Let there be light." God, in his infinite love and mercy, knew that his creation would fall short of his holiness. But because he made us in his image, he made a way for us to get back to him through that shed blood of his Son. And that was planned long, long before you and I were even born. 1988, Anissa Ayala was 16 years old and diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. The doctor said that if she did not receive a bone marrow transplant after chemotherapy and radiation treatment, she would die. Neither her parents nor her brother was a match, and they could not find a donor elsewhere. Her parents, both in their 40s, conceived another child and hoped that in the bone marrow would be a compatible to Anissa's. To their great delight, it was determined that the new baby was a compatible donor. And when Marissa Ayala was 14 months old, they took some of her marrow and gave it to Anissa. And Anissa made a full recovery from the leukemia, and both sisters lead healthy lives today. In the very real sense, Marissa saved her sister's life. And she says, without me being a perfect match for my sister, she would not be here. Well, here it is. Without Jesus being foreordained to be our perfect match, we could not be with God our Father in heaven. Thus, the plan of redemption was put into play long before you and I actually sinned, so that the day we enter into heaven, which will be a day soon, we can then say, without Jesus, I would not be here. Well, as we consider the most consecrated individual, we also see that Jesus was fully obedient to the plan of salvation in his first advent. He was completely obedient in the plan of salvation when he came the first time. Philippians 2:5-11, the New American Standard, says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And for this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is no question that if Jesus wasn't agreeable to coming to earth, we would be lost forever. If Jesus did not love us so much, so with the God love that he has for his creation, we would be assigned a permanent place in hell. If Christ wasn't fully obedient to the requirements to accomplish the salvation for humanity, then we would all be doomed for eternity. But that is not the case. For we know that Jesus fulfilled the plan of salvation to its fullness, especially when he yelled at the cross, "It is finished." You know, he looked upon the cross, as Scripture tells us, set before him with joy. For he knew that it would end not just in his glorification, but he also knew that the cross was the way of redemption for millions of souls who could call upon his name for salvation. And he drank the cup of the wrath of his Father to the dregs, so that we would never feel the singe of the flames of the lake of fire. Our Savior, who was obedient all the way to the cross, opened up the door for us to enter into heaven forever. And it all started with an obedient action of coming to earth by way of being a vulnerable baby through the womb of a virgin girl. When we think of Christmas, we often have in mind this cute little bundle of joy wrapped up in those strips of cloth, laying there cooing away in a feeding trough. In our minds, we look upon his cherub face and gleam at the beauty of the newness, and with wonder reflect the freshness of new life that has come into the world. When we think of baby Jesus, we think of an infant so frail, so vulnerable, so very precious. However, what we tend to look past is what it took for Jesus to be there in the first place. For in order for Christ to come in that fashion and take on the image of man, he had to step off the throne of heaven and disrobe himself of his eternal majesty and enter into that body of that fragile creation. He had to step away from the eternal glory and brilliance and splendor of heaven to be with us and enter into the quiet confines of his creation. Imagine what it meant for him to go from the celestial to the barn stable. Imagine what it took for him to just go from what he knew himself to be to what no one ever knew about him. Have you ever thought what it was like for him to go from being omniscient, omnipresent, the Son of God, to being a very limited, knowing, and bodily confined with little baby? I mean, my goodness. That took immeasurable obedience to the will of the Father and to the plan of salvation. And to try and grasp the span of such an endeavor is really incomprehensible. For how can one measure such a distance of glory to such mundaneness? There is no illustration in the history of mankind that can even touch the edge of such a transition to go from splendor, glory, majesty, and awesomeness, not just in oneself, but in the celestial boat of God, to a small, fragile, plain, common-looking baby in the presence of barnyard animals. Really is truly incomprehensible, is it not? Yet there he is, our Savior, our Master, our Redeemer, the author and the perfecter of our faith, Jesus, who was fully obedient to all the workings of the plan of redemption, wrapped up in that fragile form of a baby. He made this transition for you and for me, for anyone who would receive the salvation that he offers. Have you met this Jesus who came in his first advent? Do you know him as the Savior that he is? Are you ready to receive him as the most perfect gift on this or any other Christmas to come? Well, then I offer up to you our Savior and our Lord. He is the obedient one. For Jesus to be your Savior as Lord as well, all you've got to do is accept him as the gift he is. Well, as the most consecrated individual, Jesus was also glorified as the long-awaited Messiah prophesied about in the Old Testament. We see this in verses 8 through 14, that in the region where the shepherds were, they were staying there, and an angel appeared before him and declared to them that on that day, that to them a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, was born. You know, the angels appeared to nobody else but the shepherds. You know, you could think for a moment, we were discussing this a little bit during Sunday school, Bethlehem was full to the tilt, so much so that Mary and Joseph had no place to stay but in a stable. So the angels could have gone to anyone who was traveling, anyone who was living in Bethlehem, but instead the angel was sent to the shepherds. And they give what is considered the long-awaited announcement. The messianic expectation was running wild in that area of the world. They were looking for the Messiah. They were hoping for the redemption. They were looking for something to happen from God, a word from him, a vision from him, an act from him, a message. And here it is. It's come. But not just in the message of words, but in the body of Jesus, the little baby in Bethlehem. And these lowly of the lowliest, these shepherds. Again, not just little boys, lest your nativities in your homes may make you think the little shepherd is some little shepherd boy, but likely is it's an array of many men from aspects of age, from anywhere from 20 to 80 possibly, out there in the field and shepherding their flocks. And they're told, go. Go. The charge is issued. And you know what? The shepherds are obedient. For they go and they see the long-awaited Messiah proclaimed by heaven, the angels. Here's Jesus. He is a gift among gifts. And it was given to them that day. You know, shepherds, they're the lowly of the low. Even in society, even in that society, they were smelly individuals. They were generally uneducated in the ways of wisdom, scholarship, and the act of being in the king's court. Such individuals, like the shepherds, would then never have been invited to the presence of King Herod or into the presence of Caesar. Such individuals wouldn't even be allowed to enter into the court of Pilate unless they committed some kind of crime. No, shepherds were to be seen and heard, not heard, but not to be interacted with. They were pretty much left to themselves unless, well, you needed something from them, like wool or meat or something. So when the angels appeared to them and commissioned them to go and see, it was an honor that eclipsed anything else in the history of mankind. For who in the history of the world was anyone ever invited to go and see the Son of God and worship Him? Well, none. That's only the shepherds, for He alone is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the mighty Savior. He is Christ the Lord, and He called to Himself shepherds to come and worship Him. I wonder, was their calling in life to be representative of who He truly was as the great high shepherd? Was that why they were invited? In the last half of the 20th century, in New York's Hayden Planetarium, a special Christmas holiday show was enhanced by an added feature. A giant lollipop tree was projected onto the planetarium dome, surrounded by a horizon filled with brilliantly covered toys which came to life and cavorted to the tune of jingle bells. At the climax of a huge figure of Santa Claus faded out in a snowstorm, and then the Star of Bethlehem broke through into a sky that produced what is to be believed to be the Palestine sky on the night of the Nativity. The designer of the show may not realize that he dramatically staged a supreme Christmas message our world needs to understand. That is, the recovery of the lost meaning of Christmas. This is not said in any criticism of Santa Claus. The effect must have delighted the hearts of the children who saw it without doing violence to their love of Bethlehem. But for adults, it is a tragic loss to substitute jingle bells for Hark the Herald Angel Sings and lollipop tree for the manger of Bethlehem. The instinct is right to fade out these things in the light of the Christmas star. It is about God's incarnation that the angels sing, God is with us, end quote. This time of year, our world indeed supplants the true worship of the King for that of other things. Whether their worship be but the spirit of the holiday, or the jolly red elf who gives presents, or family activities, all these things and more generally garner more attention, more adulation, more praise than just simply going before Jesus and bowing oneself and paying homage to Him as the Son of God, the King of all creation. If you don't believe that Jesus is being supplanted by other things on His birthday, then you are not watching the world around you today who have chosen to do so. They've chosen to do everything else other than to worship Him on the celebrated day of His birth. Too often when Sunday coincides with Christmas, many would rather stay home, open presents, prepare meals, and spend the time singing Christmas carols that often have nothing to do with Jesus, than to go to the nearest church and simply worship Him. Yet, on the night of His birth, it was the lowly shepherds who were given the supreme honor of worshiping Him, which is truly representative of the fact that Jesus did not come to just the royal or to the elite or to the nobles of this world. But by going to the shepherds, He showed that He was for everyone to worship. And so too, He issues the invitation today to pay Him homage and to worship Him on this day we honor as His birth. Well, lastly, as the most consecrated individual, Jesus is the most sought after and talked about individual in the history of the world. In the history of the world. When it's all said and done, what did the shepherds do? Did they remain silent when they came before the king? Did they return quietly to their fields without saying a word in a posture of reverence and awe? Did they look about with hushed tones and fingers on their lips as if to say they are not worthy to utter anything about what they saw? No, actually, the passage tells us we witnessed the opposite thing. They told Mary and Joseph all that the angels had said. They went away from the presence of Jesus with joy and exuberance and loud acclamations of praise. They went and told everyone everything they heard and saw that very night, being the first witnesses to the coming Christ. You and I who come before our Creator are not to leave His presence with quiet tones of reverence and silence. Instead, we are to be full of joy and proclamation of the Savior, our King. Our faith is not to be a spiritually quiet one where we get offended if anyone inquires of it, but it's to be one that is truly outgoing, reflective of what Jesus has done in our lives. It's to be a faith ready to share and to spread His glory and His greatness. This Christmas, how often have you honored your Christ? When given the opportunity, did you utter His name whenever you could? Did you spread the good news of your Savior to those who don't even know what the true Christmas is about? Did you take the time to point to Christ as the reason for the season? Let me encourage you to take your consecrated life seriously and to be quick to share His love and His message of redemption as the best gift ever to be given to anyone, because you know what? He is the best gift given to all of us. Here's an interesting thought. Martin Luther, the great instigator of the Reformation in the early 1500s, once said, "The mystery of the humanity of Christ, that He sunk Himself into our flesh, is beyond all human understanding." Let me say that again. The mystery of the humanity of Christ, that He sunk Himself into our flesh, is beyond all human understanding. Yes, it is probably the most profound undertaking in the history of the world, but the reason why is that God consecrated Him long before mankind was made to be the Savior of you and me. It was the plan of God that drove Him to do it. It was His greatness that enabled Him to accomplish it. It was His love that fulfilled that consecrated work of redemption, His love that He has for you and for me, but more importantly, His love that He has for the glory of His Father. May you be blessed by the love of the Lord Jesus today. May He bless you as you celebrate His birth, which we call Christmas. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the message of salvation, and we thank You for the nativity, Lord, as we come together every year to just worship You and to honor You on this Your day. Lord, we know it's not the actual day. None of us are led to think that anymore, but we do know that we need to set aside a day, and we chose this day. And so, Lord, we honor You, and we glorify You, and we worship You, and thank You, and we say, "Happy birthday, Jesus." Oh, what a great and awesome and wonderful God and Savior You are. May You be our all in all, and may You be the greatest gift that we share with one another today. Amen.